Welcome back to another episode of T&M Ball. It's a delayed version with, obviously, when I say delayed, it's only took us 8 months to do another one with Statman Will. It's your host today, Jay, and also, welcome back, co-host Mr. Statman. Will, how are you?
Thank you very much. It's great to be back. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Not bad. Did you like the passive-aggressive
back? Yeah, that was brilliant, mate. I appreciate that.
So what we like to do is sometimes, you know, because obviously Will is obviously a massive stat head. He hasn't got it in the top of his head, you know, all the stats. So I give him some questions beforehand for him to obviously search. Ruin a bit of magic for you kids out there. So instead, we're having a bit of fun as well with himself. So I'm just going to give him some questions off the top of my head as well that I've set up for you. What do you reckon to that, Will? Does that sound like a good enough beat for you?
Yeah, I'm more than willing to give it a go. I'm not going to use Google.
Google. Does Jeeves calm? Nah, that's not a real thing. That'd give you wrong stats
shut
anyway.
Down now, haven't they? Yeah, oh God, yeah. It was.
Oh, have they?
Oh, yeah, Jeeves been shut down years, I think.
Oh, wow, I'm way out of it. So, I'm editing all that up. Anyway, I mean, since we last talked, talk about a lot's happened. Ollie's still got his job somehow since we last talked. Spurs have gone through two managers.
Yep.
Now on Conte, which, talk about breaking the bank to get him.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. You still got Arteta, though.
Surprisingly, yeah. But I'm... the whole Premier League manager saga, obviously I've been gone for a while, but the amount of changes that have happened, it's just been...
Well,
insane.
In less than 8 months, it's crazy when you think about it. I mean, Ancelotti's even gone.
Yeah, exactly. And when something that is, well, it's not weird. I'm not surprised, to be honest with you. But since the start of this season, five managers have been sacked.
That's wow. I mean, it sounds harsh to say, but I always thought Dean Smith is the villain for what they wanted to achieve. I just didn't know if he was a big enough name for what they wanted. Again, I'm not saying he's not a good enough manager. I'm just saying. But the way that I saw Villa, where they wanted to go, you know, Gerrard's, you know, I thought that's the way that they see themselves. Maybe even Rafa, do you know what I mean?
It's the thing is with Dean Smith, it was always going to be a difficult sacking when the time came. And I say when because, well, we all knew it was going to happen at some stage.
Yeah.
But the thing with Dean is he was brought into the club when they were a championship side. And his task was to get them back into English football and get them playing competitively. Now, he did just that. He had last season back in the Premier League. And it was a great season for Villa last year. If you look at all things said and done, they thumped a few sides. They beat Arsenal 3-0. I think, they beat us on both occasions, home and away. They beat Liverpool, what was it? Was it
7-2 or something? It was something disgusting. No, well, it was 7-1, I think, or something.
Yeah.
Because we beat United 6-2.
Yeah.
And then they beat like 7-1 or something.
It was a great season. And I think that, you know, the board have backed him in the sense of.
They didn't sack him, did they?
Well, they didn't sack him, no. And Grealish left this summer, which was inevitable. You know, you can claim to be a diehard Aston Villa fan and say, oh, Grealish this, Grealish that. You just knew it was going to happen. So, you know, that Grealish left and the board didn't turn around and say, you know what, we're going to pocket that 100 million. They gave it to him and they said, do what you want with this money.
He brought in some great players. Signings, by the way. Signings.
You got, Emi Buendia.
Leon Bailey.
You know, they got in Emi Martinez last year as well. And... you know, they have backed him, Tyro Mings, you know.
They built something good there, you know.
Yeah, well, it was a great squad. But I think Dean Smith, and I think he'd admit this, I don't think what they brought him in for is what Villa need now.
Yes.
They brought him in to steady the ship.
Yeah.
And they, you know, now that he's steadied the ship, he's not going to be able to compete with the mid-table clubs because he's bringing in good players but they're being managed by a championship manager.
Yeah. That sounds so harsh. I know it does.
It does. But it's
true.
It's true. And Dean Smith will walk into a job in the Championship. Maybe even, you know, he's in running for the Norwich job.
Would you be happy with the Championship if you're Dean Smith, though? Because I wouldn't be with what he's done.
Well, not at all.
But that's his level, though, is it?
It is and it isn't. And I think that's why I know that we were going to talk about the Norwich position. And I'll tell you why I think Lampard was probably the better option in about 5 or 10 minutes, whenever we get to it. But Dean Smith at Norwich, I don't think Norwich are looking at Dean Smith to save them. I think Norwich are looking at Dean Smith with one eye on next season.
Yeah, of course they are. Of course they
because
are.
they know that. I think they know they're not staying up.
I think Dean Smith would be great at Fulham. Do you know that kind
of?
That kind of like yo-yo team, you get them up and everything, and again without sounding ridiculous harsh. So once you're up there, and you've got Fulham, you know, up, you know. Yeah. Then you get rid of him again.
Well, that's it. It's
so horrible, doesn't it? But you know,
it does sound horrible.
It's the Steve Bruce saga, isn't it? Where you go, thank you for coming in and doing everything for us. However, we hate your football.
Yeah.
Thank you for getting us out of this mess. I mean, but we can't stand it no more. But thanks for leaving us. Can you go away now?
To be honest with you, and I'm just going to touch on this really quickly. I know that we've only got 30 minutes or whatever, but Newcastle fans have baffled me slightly.
Go on.
When you think about this in the long term, now, don't get me wrong, when you think of Newcastle, people say, yeah, they are a big club. That is of people's opinion. I just think they're a popular football club in a big area. I don't think they're a big club. You know, if you look at their major honours, you know, they're not... Villa.
Well, define. I have this argument with everybody. Well, and when I mean that, I mean, what do you and I define a big club as? Say that they're two different things. Is that trophy cabinet revenue, people who get followed? Do you know what I mean? I would class Arsenal and Spurs as big clubs. However, you know, Arsenal fans going, Spurs ain't a big club because, you know, you ain't got exit. But we are, of course we're a big, do you know what I mean? It's Spurs, what you define as big club.
Exactly. And you know, talking completely unbiased here towards Tottenham, you don't have the biggest club stadium in London if you're not a big club. It's just, you know, that's like saying, I don't know, that's like Fulham saying, tell you what, we're going to turn Craven Cottage into a 70,000 seater stadium and then not filling it. But Spurs fill it every week. They fill it week in, week out. Spurs may not have the same numbers in terms of trophies when it comes to Chelsea, Arsenal, Man United, Liverpool. No, they may not have that. But what Spurs have had compared to Chelsea, Man City, who people class as huge clubs, is consistency. They've always been mid-table, but they've always been there. Do you know what I mean? They've never been a team that you knew you were going to roll. You know, you always knew when you played Spurs it was going to be a semi-tough game. Back in the day, it would have been a semi-tough game. Now, when you go to Tottenham, you know it's going to be a hard game. Regardless of who's in charge, and this is an Arsenal fan saying this, regardless of who's in charge, you know that Tottenham have got a squad that can beat anybody. They got to a Champions League final. You don't fluke that.
it's great. I mean, in the 60s, we're winning Premier League titles. And then, you know, even in the 90s, winning FA Cups and everything. And then this recent drought is really, really shocking. You know, it's really horrendous. It needs to end. Should have ended about 3-4 years ago. But it is.
But I think that Levy's done what he can with the money he has, considering how much a new stadium cost. You know, when all the fans were protesting against the Super League and were protesting against their owners and this and that, and then all the Premier League clubs, you know, pulled out, and then all of the teams protest. Yeah. I get it. They've got the glasses. However, they have been brought Ronaldo and Sancho and Varane this summer, so I don't really listen to them this year. Arsenal fans, I 100% get it. You know, Stan Kroenke, he's never put a penny of his own money in. We've only ever used our profits on players, and the club has declined. You can see that. But Tottenham fans were protesting for Levy to leave, and I'm thinking, hang on a minute, the guy's just taking you to a Champions League final. You've nearly won the league twice in the last.
Yeah, I know where you're going with this, but the thing is, it's like the Newcastle thing. Yeah, you don't see it until you're in there. Like Newcastle, right? When you're there and you're going, mate, he's playing horrible football. You know,
Yeah,
he's doing a really bad job. And then with Spurs, it's the same thing. You forget we was the only club with Newcastle who put all our staff on furlough, mate.
Yeah, you know. And
this is a guy who also doesn't back your manager. He sacked our beloved Poch, also. He gave no money, and he also sold half the squad, and then gone, oh, by the way, yeah, here's Serge Aurier, but we got rid of Trippier. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
there's so many little things, and you go, yeah, you know, it's all right building on this stadium, but he's done so many things. And with the Super League, I said, even then, I was like, we'll be the very last person to leave it because we'll be keeping an eye on everyone else. And we was. We just make so many mistakes.
I understand where the frustration with Tottenham fans lie, but I also think that you are very new to this whole new
big
stadium.
Club. Yeah, we are.
And for example, when Arsenal moved away from Highbury, in my opinion, it's the worst decision we've made in probably ever as a club, other than signing Andre Santos. But when we moved away from Highbury to the Emirates, we had 10 years where we were paying stadium debts off, where Arsenal fans were watching Bentner and Shamak up front. We went through hell because our record signing was Santi Cazorla at 30 odd million. No, it wasn't even 30 odd million quid. I think we paid 19 or something like that for him, and he was our record signing until we got Ozil for 40 million after the stadium debt was paid off, you know. Whereas Tottenham, you've still got Kane, Son, you've got Ndombele, who I rate. I know Spurs fans may not. Lucas Moura.
No, we love him. We love Ndombele at the cell. So it's just Ali. Don't like Ali. Don't understand how he keeps getting. No one gets
that,
it. I promise
that is
you.
One thing that we are going to agree on, because I don't like Ali either.
No, but I don't get. I hear so many people, do you know, who's not obviously regular Spurs watchers, and it goes, oh, that Dele Alli's good. And you're like, mate, he hasn't been good for. He's been worse now than he has been good, and that's the problem.
Dele Alli wasn't good. Pochettino was.
Yeah, and just that whole. Do you know when he first started in that whole aggression aspect of him? You know, we're getting that's just gone, and when that gone, the rest of it went. You know.
Yeah.
But we'll try to stick on topic anyway, right?
Yeah.
Because I want to try to do something new with this podcast, and that's release different conversations all in different bits. So we're going to try to stay on topic.
Yeah.
It could be hard, but I doubt it. Okay, so. My first point of call, and we're nearly at least a quarter of the way through. But first point of call is, right, and this is my question to yourself, which I'm going to ask you, mate, as well, but, you know, we'll come back to that another time.
Yeah.
Marcus Rashford, if he didn't do all the great things he did in the summer, okay, would he still be not only a Manchester United player or an England player, but would he even be in this team? Because I haven't seen him do anything for a couple of years now. I think he's a very average player. All I heard is his speed. You know, they've got Ronaldo, Cavani, they've got Sancho. I mean, I think he's stopping development at that club. Do you think it's just his name and his good deeds that's keeping him?
I personally think that if Marcus Rashford hadn't have done what he'd done in terms of, you know, food for school children and, you know, getting involved with the political side, I do think he'd still be at the club, because I think he'd be twice the player he is at the moment.
And that's a big shout.
That's not me saying that what he's doing is wrong at all. I think Marcus Rashford as a bloke is a stand-up guy. You know, he knows where he's come from, and he's exemplary to any young footballer who wants to look up to somebody as a role model. He is exemplary. However, when you're a professional footballer, what you tend to find is those who don't solely concentrate on football 24/7 will start to show that in their performances. So, for example, Mesut Ozil, he was a great footballer when he first signed for Arsenal because that's all he ever cared about. And then when he started getting involved in Turkish politics and he fell out with the German national team, and things were becoming a bit of a political statement. And I'm not saying that what he was saying was wrong when he was talking about the Chinese treatment of Muslims. You know, I'm not saying what he was saying was wrong. But you could see in his performances that his head's elsewhere. It's the same as Aubameyang when he started streaming with his brother. And I know it sounds like I'm picking on Arsenal players here, but it's just the best cases that I know the most about. And in my opinion, what Marcus is doing is great, but he needs to start solely focusing back on his football, because he is a great player when he wants to be. And I think all of this extra added stress, he knows for a fact that he doesn't really, you know, he could turn up to Old Trafford, get one assist in six games, and he'd be quite happy with that, because he knows that the fans love him because of what he's done. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, exactly. I'm just thinking back even from Terry Venables, when he had all his fingers in different pies. I've heard that if he just focused on football, he would have been even better than he already was. And exactly. I'm just thinking, apart from Beckham, you know,
Beckham,
I don't know anyone else who's it's actually worked for doing multiple campaigns.
I think
Ronaldo
with Beckham,
potentially. I mean, could Ronaldo have been better?
I mean, you look at Ronaldo de Lima, you know, R9, original Brazilian Ronaldo. As soon as Nike started meddling in his football career, it just went downhill. Bang.
Yeah.
And that's because he wasn't in control of his own career. And you can see it on Rashford's Twitter that there was a mistake a few weeks ago where it basically his PR man, who he pays to run his Twitter account, said, "Oh, really glad to be back from injury." And he wasn't. He was just back to non-contact training. And Marcus had to point that out and say, "Oh, I'm really sorry. I just got too excited, blah, blah, blah." But he had a man running his Twitter account, which tells me that he's not as in control of his entire life as he probably should be. Not saying that these guys aren't fit to do the jobs that he wants them to do, but I think in football, there has to be an element of doing it yourself. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's why you look at Messi, he doesn't have Twitter, he's got Instagram, but a guy runs that for him. But he has lived, breathed football his entire career, and he's sort of stayed away from the, you know, the big lights. And obviously he is in the big lights, but you rarely see him doing, you know, documentaries or programs, or do you know what I mean? Because he was always so focused on his football. And like you said, the only two players that I can think of that actually were, you know, put into public light and have done separate things away but still remain great is Beckham and Cristiano Ronaldo.
I can't really think of anyone else to, you know, that kind of level. I mean, I can think of, like, we've just named the top of our heads, right? Thinking, you know, of people. Even someone like Lee Shock. Can you remember Lee Shock? He was Beckham before he was Beckham. He started all his own cruise line. That bombed for him, essentially. Yeah. He could have literally been Beckham. But he messed it up so much due to the fact of, you know, wanting to be a celebrity, and then Finn and Fergie got annoyed with it. You know, and you're just thinking, Lee Sharp, you're like, Lee Sharp, seriously. And it's so many things. And I just think with Rashford, I look at him and I think, I remember a teenager coming out, smashing it for everything. And now I'm thinking,
He scored his Premier League debut, his FA Cup debut, his Champions League debut, and his England debut.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd In my lifetime, the only player that I've seen, and I mean I've seen in flesh as it happened, have as glittering a start to a career as that, is probably Wayne Rooney.
Yeah, I've just watched Wayne Rooney's thing earlier with Bellion scoring as well. I was like, I remember him.
I've got his autograph.
In Bellion, David.
I went to Old Trafford to play Spurs when I was a kid. Yeah, I must have been about 7 or 8. And I had a Man United cap. Because obviously we were at Old Trafford. At that point, you just don't care, you know. It was free tickets. I gave this hat to this random guy who I'd never seen before. I was 8 years old, and then we got into the stands in the program, and he was on the bench. And my pops turned around to me and was like, "Hey, Al-San, that's the guy who signed your hat." And he came on and he actually scored against Spurs in a 3-0 win.
I don't know what happened to him. He was really up there.
He scored a couple of goals and then just McCaded it. Yeah, just Federico McCaded it.
Federico McCaded it. He really did. Bevied it. And I was looking at it and I was thinking, I don't know if you can remember, obviously, the old Championship Manager games, but I remember someone called Jimmy Davis up from Man U. He died in the car crash, didn't he?
Yeah.
If you remember. Yeah. And I just remember that whole era.
Yeah. That was when football wasn't a business. But we're going off topic anyway.
Of course we are. Why wouldn't we? But I was just thinking, I don't know, with this squad, with the way that the Glazers are looking at, because when he does get his focus potentially back, surely Mace Greenwood would, you know, he's on that door.
Of course he is.
Sancho, Greenwood, Rashford, Ronaldo. I mean, come on. You know, they all don't fit into this box.
It's a sad day to be Anthony Martial or Jesse Lingard.
Well, exactly. Well, apparently he's gone. I was reading, and Lingard, guess how much he's going for, apparently.
How much?
10 million.
Where to?
Anyone who wants him. He's going up for sale in January for 10 million. And I'm thinking his contract must be out at the end of the season for that, if it's January.
I think it is. And I'll tell you what, West Ham will snap him up.
Well, if West Ham don't, I'm thinking I wouldn't mind if it's Spurs for 10 million. I mean, that's nothing.
You'd have him for 10 million. Of course you would.
10 million's nothing. You could even do a swap buy for that,
Exactly.
Do anything with that. And not just that. Well, so I absolutely rinsed people beforehand. I hated him at my new Lingard. But then I remember Barkley going out on loan, to Villa. And it just brings out the whole new life in him. And I'm thinking, why can't you do this standard at your own club?
I think the problem is at Man United at the moment is Ronaldo. And that's not a problem because he is literally dragging them through the season. But when Cristiano Ronaldo is in your team, you are going to do everything in your power to accommodate him.
So whilst we're on the subject, because obviously talking to the viewers, this will be our segment two, because we've already done. So whilst you're listening to this new thing, we'll talk about managers that are currently on the cutting edge. Okay. Yeah. We'll talk about Arteta. We'll talk about Ollie. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think, would you be happy, with either one of them going and say Lampard replacing them, or would you want an experienced manager now to take over either your own club or United?
Personally, at Arsenal, this is my own.
Where
opinion.
Are you? Now,
we are in the table?
Yep.
I think we're fifth.
I mean, do you think that's acceptable for Arsenal?
At this moment in time, I'll be honest with you, and this is just my opinion. Yeah, we're fifth. We are 2 points behind Liverpool. So we're only 6 points off the top. My personal opinion is Arteta was handed a squad that was in disarray, in my opinion. He was given a crap squad, and he was brought in because he was cheap. And it was something that the fans could sort of look back on and go, well, he's an ex-captain. Let's get behind him. And I think that bought Arsenal a bit more time in terms of the owners and what they were, whatever the hell they're planning to do. I don't really care, to be honest with you. But Arteta was awful last season. I am so surprised he made it through. I really am.
That football he was playing with crossing the ball non-stop was horrible, mate.
And this season, this transfer window and this season has shown me that the board may be right to stick with him purely because the transfers this summer that he has made were his. He had nobody telling him, you need to buy him.
I don't know if that's true or not, because when it goes good, we always tell people that it's like, oh, it's him. But when it goes bad, we go, it's the board. I mean, maybe the board made some good decisions. Do you not think?
No, the board gave him a set budget, which was more than what they have done before. They actually put their own money in this time.
Wow.
And he wasn't given 200 million because that's not how Arsenal work.
Yeah.
But he was given the money, and he was, for example, I'll use this as and you're not going to like this, and I don't care if you don't believe me, but I have it on very, very good authority that this was the case. So originally Arteta was recommended at right back Emerson Royale.
Okay? Yeah, I've heard this quite a few times.
He was recommended Emerson Royale, and Tomiyasu was actually being scouted by Spurs. Arteta turned around and said, I don't want Emerson. He's far too attacking for what I want. He is a wing back. I'm not necessarily wanting a wing back at the moment. I like playing four at the back. I'm trying to build a team where we can play four at the back, where we've got Ben White, Gabriel, Kieran Tierney. I'd rather have Tomiyasu. He is more fitting for what I want. So the board listened, and we got Tomiyasu, and Spurs then got Emerson Royale. Now, I'll be honest with you, mate. At the time, I was fuming because I preferred Emerson Royale. Yeah. I preferred Emerson over Tomiyasu. I really did. I'd known Emerson from watching him a few times last season when he was at Betis. I'd never seen Tomiyasu play. I'd never heard of him, okay? I'll put my hands up and say that. I had literally never heard of this kid, but I knew Emerson Royale was. And when I heard that Arteta didn't want Emerson and he wanted Tomiyasu, I was thinking, that is the nail in the coffin. You can sod off, get out.
Yeah.
And I watched Emerson's debut against Crystal Palace. And I immediately started to see where Arteta was coming from in terms of he's too attacking. He is not defensively as sound as I would need him.
He's shocking.
Exactly.
He's
shocking. And then I watched Tomiyasu's debut and I was even more convinced then. And then I look at players like people said, he's crap. You don't want to be spending 50 odd million pounds on him. He's been brilliant this season.
I tell you where we always wrong, all of us, and that's Ramsdale.
I know, Ramsdale. Mate, when we spent 30 million on Ramsdale, I was the first person sat there going, why have we spent 30 million pounds
on a team
that has been relegated? What are we doing?
Relegated twice.
Exactly. But quite clearly, from what I've been seeing now, the first three games of the season, right, I don't count because you look at the injuries we had.
Yeah.
And you look at the squads that we were putting out. We were putting out our B's and C's, okay? As soon as all of our players were back, we started winning. And we were playing good football. And that's why I think at the moment, we are better off sticking with Arteta because, yes, he's still very lucky to be in a job. And if it was me in charge, we would never have seen this. But I can see why the board have stuck with him now because his ideas are starting to show through. Now he has players who are competent. He shifted Deadwood, who didn't want to listen to him. And he's now got a squad of players who believe in his project, who believe in him and believe in his views and ideology when it comes to football. And we are now seeing the results. And long may it continue, in my opinion, obviously.
Well, William's gone, hasn't he? Gone now, I think.
William's gone. We got rid of Ozil, obviously. I loved Ozil, but when there's two managers that have the same problem with him,
you've
got to question the player, in my opinion.
Is Aubameyang next? You know he is.
If I'm Arsenal, Lacazette's out of contract in the summer. Aubameyang's past his best. I'd put Aubameyang up for sale for 40 million this January. Let him go to Newcastle, whoever will pay that money for him. And I would go straight to, I think it's Fiorentina. I would go straight there with a blank check and I'd say, Dusan Blahovic, what do you want? What do you want?
Do you know what? I'd even go for, well, I wouldn't say Martinez because Martinez is I don't think he's an out and out striker. I think I wish Spurs got Dybala. I would have done anything for that. That would have been disgusting.
I think anyone would.
I can't believe that we nearly got him. We just didn't get him on image rights.
I know.
So stupid. He wanted to come and everything if he can image rights, but Ilicic as well. Immobile. I think all of them would have been great for him.
Well, put it this way, I'm going to move on to Conte now. Yeah. Obviously, we spoke about Arteta. I'm going to move on to Conte now. I'm quite frightened, to be honest with you, because Conte, in my opinion, is one of the greatest of all time. In my opinion.
He is a league
master. When it comes to domestic trophies, he is brilliant. Now, I will be frightened if Tottenham start signing serious players. And I'm not talking you're going to go out in January and get Kylian Mbappe. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is if you start showing a bit of intent, whereas, for example, let's say Conte goes to Juve in January because Levy, I tell you what, mate, he wouldn't have taken that job unless Levy had promised him some money.
I 100% agree with you. He wouldn't have done it.
He wouldn't have touched it with a barge pole, mate. And I've got a very sneaky feeling that he's going to go January. He's going to go straight over to Juve and he's going to say, here's 65 million quid. We'll take Paulo Dybala off your hands. If you want any more, let us know. We'll sort it out. And then he'll go and buy another centre-back because I think you're lacking at centre-back. I
mean, we're lacking two centre-backs. I'm looking at him, right? And we've got this. I've been watching Spurs slowly develop because we've been shocked in the last few seasons because we were still in that kind of past glory, the kind of Arsenal lad. Yeah. Like, you've got your own good players, but they're just not doing it. But you're still keeping them for nostalgia purposes.
Well, the problem is you lost Vertonghen and Alderweireld in the space of two seasons.
And Eriksen. We lost Eriksen and Eriksen, didn't really replace him.
And Vertonghen and Alderweireld had been the centre-back partnership for a solid four years.
Trippier, Rose. We lost our whole back four.
Yeah, you literally did. Don't get me wrong. Reguilón in at left-back, good signing. But the fact that you're still having to play Eric Dier at centre-back says to me...
Eric Dier, Sanchez as well.
Davison Sanchez. I think at first he looked like a good signing and now he looks like a fish out of water. I think Romero is a good signing.
He looks like a fish out of water. Do you know when I see him, right? Yeah. When I see either Dier or Sanchez on, I look at him and I think that's a penalty. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? That's a penalty waiting to happen.
It's the same when Xhaka's on the pitch. And I like Xhaka. I think he's a good player. I think he adds to Arsenal squad in terms of his passing range and his calmness in midfield. But he's got so many stupid mistakes in him. And I know what you're saying about Davison Sanchez. Eric Dyer's done it in North London derbies before, where he's let his head get the better of him and then given a penalty.
You can't do that. Yeah, you can't. I don't think my mate was saying it to me. So if he was on the show previously, he was going, if you go in to a North London derby. And you don't know how big it is, right? There was this big story. I can't remember who it was. It was Thierry Henry, I believe, and Tony Adams or something like that. And they was all messing around. And Tony Adams got one of the young lads by the throats and he goes, "What are you laughing for?" He goes, "Oh, he's like, no, this is Tottenham versus Arsenal, mate." And he goes, "You don't leave this field without winning."
Exactly. Yeah.
And then everybody realized then what kind of game it was. Do you know what I mean? And then you're thinking, and the last game, mate, you smashed us everywhere. And like you're saying, the players just didn't get it. This Arsenal team got it.
No, exactly. You know? But this is the difference. So you look at Arsenal, and you look at who the manager is, Arteta, and that he was in that changing rooms before that North London derby. And I'll admit to you, mate, I did not think we were going to do that well. I really didn't. He was in that chain room before, and then he's there saying, "Look, this is what it's like to play in a North London derby. I have been there so many times. I have captained them. It is intense." And he would have been spieling off all of it, every single thing under the book, firing these players up because he's been there, he's done it, he's got the T-shirt. And then you've got Nuno sat there going, "Well, they play nice football. So do we."
Yeah, literally. Yeah. It just didn't work. We all watched it work, but it just didn't.
Whereas Conte is going to come in, and the next time that you play us...
Oh, Jesus, can you imagine?
He is going to be red in the face, slapping players, going, "We do not lose to these." Do you know what I mean? No, but that is the kind of manager that he is, and that is what Tottenham needs at the moment. Because I'm looking at the table now, mate. You know, you've lost five this season. You played 11, you've lost five.
That's disgusting, isn't it?
Like, don't get me wrong, Wolves have as well. But...
If we didn't have that good start, we'd be bottom.
So have Brentford. So have Burnley, who are in 18th place. Newcastle have only lost six. Do you know what I mean? Like, Norwich have lost eight, but that's expected. But do you know what I mean? Like, you've lost five. Like,
that's crazy.
It's ridiculous. And
we always have a good January, though. Always have done.
Yeah, you always
have done. Always do.
I personally think that Tottenham fans shouldn't be looking at what you do this season. Because Conte is not going to fix you in 4 months, and that is what you've essentially got to save the season. He's not going to fix you in 4 months, in my opinion. But if he's backed the way that I think he's going to be backed, because like we said before, Conte would not have taken that job unless it was in a contract that he was going to get what he wanted. If he's backed the way I think he's going to be backed. You will win a trophy next year. I don't know which one it could be, but you will win one. Maybe two.
That's a perfect ending to that segment. So, the next one. You ready? Yeah. You got a couple of good questions ready? Still left in you?
Yeah, of course. Right.
So, what are we saying about Mr. Gerrard at Villa? Are we saying success or not? Eddie Howe at Newcastle. Right, we'll take one step at a time. Because I always thought that Gerrard would literally last out until Klopp went in a season or two. And then instantly go for that Liverpool job.
Yeah.
If he fails at Villa, this is a big gamble, I feel, for Gerrard. If he fails at Villa, then, you know, that could be it for him. You know, it's a big, massive gamble. And I asked you to have a quick look at, did you see who's talked with him? Did you have a quick read of that article all about his coaching staff?
I did, yeah. And I'll be honest with you, what Gerrard's done is a gamble. However, looking, and I'm going into stats here, okay?
Stats, man.
And this to me is going to be a short conversation. So Gerrard's win percentage at Rangers, well, not win percentage, but points per match was 2.15, which is phenomenal. You look at where Rangers were before him, they were okay, they weren't great. But yeah, now the reason I think that Gerrard is going to do well at Villa is because his preferred formation is 4-3-3 attacking. Funnily enough, as a football manager myself, that's my favourite formation, 4-3-3 attacking. Gerrard believes in number 10 being the pinnacle of the, you know, of the spine. So your centre attacking midfield. And Villa have got an outstanding centre attacking midfielder in Emi Buendia. They've also got a cracking winger in Leon Bailey, however they pronounce it. You could then stick Watkins on the left. You could then put Danny Ings up front because Watkins has got the speed to play at left wing. You know, Gerrard has got a club. Well, not a club. Gerrard's got a squad that I know he'll do well with, because Villa's squad is better than Rangers' squad, and the task is less. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. When you say all the names, then I was like, wow, you're right. They should be doing a lot better than they have.
They really should, given the squad that they have. And, you know, at Rangers, he had less of a squad and he was given the task of winning the Scottish Premiership again. And he did it. Yeah. He has got better players with less of a task. All Gerrard has to do this season is stay up. And he will. Of course he will. In my opinion, he will most definitely stay up. You know, I know that Villa, they're in 16th. They've got 10 points. But, you know, they're only sort of 2 points behind Brentford. They're four points behind Southampton. Mate, they are literally 5 points off of the top 10. So if you think about it, if Villa take this momentum that they're inevitably going to have into the next sort of five games, come Christmas, they could be 11th, in my opinion.
Yep. And so the Cheeky Cup winner, whatever.
Exactly. You know, so I think Gerrard's been very intelligent about this. In got a better squad, less of a task, and more money at his disposal. Villa aren't afraid to spend money, as we've seen. And if Gerrard turned around and said, I like Danny Ings, but I want to get Alfredo Morelos from Rangers over here because I love him and I trust him, it's only going to take 20 million. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Gerrard at Villa will be fine. And I think he'll get mid-table this year. And then next year, he'll push them on maybe into, I don't know, eighth, maybe ninth. Mid-table, but a bit better. And then by that point, Klopp will have gone. And boom, there you go.
Well, we'll see. I mean,
that's my prediction anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I like that. What about Eddie Howe? Because you've done a really good job of wrapping that up there.
So Eddie Howe, again, I know that Newcastle wanted Unai Emery. That is not a secret. They wanted Unai Emery, and I don't think he would have been the right man, purely because Emery
is a fraud.
Well,
he is.
I don't know if he's a fraud. I think Emery is he's the Europa League specialist. He's won it more times than any other manager, but he also really, really understands Spanish football, and that is way different to English football.
Yeah,
you know, Spanish football is intricate passing. It's speed. It's not very physical. It's more beautiful. Do you know what I mean? So, for example, you'll get this as a boxer. Spanish football is more boxing. It's an art. It's about movement. It's about the way
Floyd Mayweather counters. Yeah. It's not going to be beautiful, but it does its job.
And picking your spots and timing your shots right. whereas the Premier League is mixed martial arts. It is chuck yourselves in a cage and batter each other and anything can happen. Let's see. And Emery, and he was like, what the hell is this?
Obviously, well, not even before that, mate. He did it at PSG as well. He didn't really achieve there, even for what he had there.
Oh, no, absolutely. But he won him a couple of league titles.
We could do that.
Oh, I know. But Eddie Howe. Now, Eddie Howe started managing Bournemouth, I believe, when they were in League One. He was an ex-Bournemouth player. Bournemouth were a nobody's team. I think the only time people would have heard of Bournemouth, other than Championship fans, as a Premier League fan, the only time I'd ever heard Bournemouth was Gillette Soccer Saturday when Jeff Stelling reads out the transcript at the bottom. Yeah. Eddie Howe revitalised them as a club, took them to the Championship. They started competing in the Championship. He was smart with his money. He spent peanuts on the likes of Aaron Ramsdale, for example. I think he picked him up for 800k. And then when they sold him to Sheffield United, they included a 10% sell-on clause. So they got 3 million from the Arsenal deal. Yeah. So, you know, he's picked up players like that. Ryan Fraser, they picked him up for peanuts. Yeah. And I know he left on a free, but he was brilliant under Howe. You know,
Joshua King.
Yeah, exactly.
Joshua King. The Manu Academy, not right. But just weeks away from administration when he took over.
Exactly. No. Yeah. Yeah.
Eddie, who else?
Callum Wilson.
Yeah.
Newcastle star now. And you look at what he did with Bournemouth, and yes, they got relegated. But again, it's one of them. There's only so far you can take them. Do you know what I mean? Unless you've got billionaires in charge of the club, there is only so much you can do. Now, Newcastle, I think, have been quite smart with this because they understand that they have been given the biggest checkbook in world football. One of the
limited funds is what we've always said. It will be unlimited funds.
Yeah, literally, they have been given unlimited funds. But the problem is, if you turn around and put, let's say they went to PSG and said, here's 50 million quid, we're taking Pochettino. Let's just, I'm literally just speaking figuratively there. Yeah. If they did that and Pochettino was brought in, like everybody thought was going to happen, they thought they were going to go for the big managers, it would be an absolute disaster. Because Pochettino is managing players who really don't deserve to be managed by a manager of his calibre. That's no disrespect to Newcastle players, but, you know, they needed a manager who was a proven track record of success, which he's had with Bournemouth. I'm not talking trophies, I'm talking consistency in the Premier League. He steadied the ship with Bournemouth. They were in the Premier League for a very long time. You know, they never got close to European spots or anything like that. But he steadied the ship. They were a mid-table club for a long time. And then they started selling all the best players and it all went to rat shit from there. But we'll talk about that another day. Whereas what they need him to do now is they need to bring Eddie Howe in because he is good enough to manage better players. And I'm talking players like Richarlison or Pepe at Arsenal or Lucas Moura. You know,
there's a level.
Good players who will take Newcastle up a level, but also are not too big for him to manage, as in your Angel Di Maria's, Paulo Dybala's.
Are you calling Eddie Howe Roberto Mancini?
In a sense, yes, I am. I am basically saying that Eddie Howe is there to steady the ship whilst they get better players in. So Eddie Howe is more used to working with players of Newcastle's current calibre than what Pochettino would be, in my opinion.
That's a very good thinking. Do you think attacking football is the way out, though? I know they've got that St. Maximum and everything, but I really do think that for Newcastle to get out of this massive predicament that they're in, that they do need another Rafa. Sam Allardyce, even, they need to sort that back out. I don't think it's anything to do with the front. I don't. I think it's all to do with that horrible, horrible defence they've got, you know?
I mean, but the best form of defence is attack.
Well, that's what he did with Bournemouth. We will score more than you.
You look at Bournemouth, don't get me wrong. I remember a Bournemouth game. They played Liverpool. We're talking, oh God, it must have been 2017 or 2016.
It was 4-5, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, it was like 5-4. And yeah. Bournemouth, they were shocking at the back, but they scored good goals up top.
That really mattered. It was the most funniest bet I ever had. Because I was like, yes, what? No, what?
Yeah.
I also remember him being 3-0 up at half time. And if you remember, you'd go, oh, they're still going to lose it, though.
Oh, God, yeah. But
do you know what I mean? Or it'd be a draw.
But in my opinion, Howe is a very, very sensible decision from the Newcastle board point of view. Because even if, and I'm not just saying this, even if they get relegated this season, which is a possibility, you know, the 19th, they haven't won a game this year. They've only got 5 points from their opening 11 fixtures. You know, even if they get relegated, Howe will stick with them. Whereas
if Conte... he did right, waiting this long. No, I mean, waiting this long to appoint Eddie Howe, because they made a massive mess up with this managing, you know.
I think they were being overambitious, and I think when they started speaking to the likes of Conte, and he was like, you are joking, aren't you?
Yeah, literally.
I think they started to realise maybe we need to lower our expectations, and they've done that with Eddie Howe, but they've also maximised their chances of transitioning properly. Because that's what he's the king of. He is the king of taking clubs who are in disarray and going,
good point.
Let's just get you up there. I don't know what, but let's just get you there. And then when Newcastle are a top 10 club with better players in and they lose 5 in a row, that's when Newcastle can turn around and go, right, cheers, Eddie. Thanks ever so much, mate. Poch, what are you saying? Do you want to win the league with us? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think you probably actually nailed it, because I was explaining to one of, you know, Sub actually, who's coming on the podcast before, and I was going to him, you don't understand, even with financial fair play, when they've got that many fans up in the north and it's the only one up there. I went, once them little kids start wearing them t-shirts from Newcastle on, which they will do once they start winning stuff, you know, their financial funds will be unlimited. They'll be like, you can spend 1.2 billion in a window, you know, and all that lot.
This is it. And it is going to be nuts. And one thing that I want to get absolutely clear right now, okay? And I'm sorry, but it is so annoying, Jay. And we're going to go for an hour here, mate. I'm sorry, you can split this up into four segments.
It's definitely going in four or five.
I don't care. It's my first day back, all right? I'm going in. It really, really, really winds me up, right? And the reason that this winds me up is because I've seen on Twitter, when the Newcastle takeover came over, Man United fans, Liverpool fans, Arsenal fans, Tottenham fans, oh, it's ruining football. It's ruining football. And I am stood there and I'm thinking, I tell you now, mate, yeah, all these people, and this is going to sound so controversial, and please, I hope that the listeners don't take this the wrong way at all, but people there talking about human rights and all this and that, yeah? You never, ever bring politics into football, in my opinion. Don't bring politics into football. They're completely separate things. And I can tell you now, mate, if a sheik, like who was bought Newcastle United, turned up to Arsenal and brought us and gave us a blank checkbook, my memory would become very, very short. Yes, every single fan in the would absolutely adore to happen to their club what has happened to Newcastle. So I don't buy this whole, it's ruining football. It's this, it's that, it's this, it's that. It's happening. You have to accept it. Move on with the times. Football is a progressive sport. It moves on every single year. And I can tell you now, mate, the fact that Newcastle and the Newcastle fans and the, you know, all of those people up in the northeast have got years of success to look forward to, because they will do it, because City have done it. It's not difficult to do if you've got the right financial backing. Yeah. All of those fans have got all of that to look forward to. And you know what, mate? I wish them bloody well. I really do. Yeah. I really, really do wish them well, because I am jealous, and I am not going to turn that jealousy into bitter, twisted arguments where I'm saying, oh, but this, oh, but that. I don't buy it, mate. If your club went through the same treatment, you would not give a shit. And I'm sorry for swearing, but that is the bottom line.
The thing is as well, can I point out as well, right? Mm-hmm. And this is a very good interview I saw on Sky Sports News. Yeah. And they actually did it in full. We'll wrap this up regarding Newcastle on this point before we go into the next and last one, okay? Because again, it is going to be an hour, isn't it?
Yeah.
So they said when the sheiks and everything, like you said, you're going about human rights abuses and everything, but when nobody asked us when Mike Ashley bought the club, do you want him to buy it? Nobody asked us when Freddie Sheppard wanted to buy it. We've had two bad owners in a row. Mike Ashley, terrible workers' rights, you know. Mm-hmm. Freddie Sheffield, mm-hmm. terrible, you know, sexist and all this lot. But now these guys have got money. What do you want us to do as supporters?
Exactly.
Not go to games, not support the clubs. We've supported it through all these other horrible ones. But now that we've actually got success, you're going, well, what are you going to do now? And you're thinking, they're right. These fans are literally right.
This is it, mate. And I'm not being funny. I'm not afraid to admit this. Manchester City produced, in my opinion, the greatest sporting moment of all time. They wouldn't have done that without the shame. Yeah, to me, I remember I didn't watch it. Okay, I was listening to it on the radio when I was at work, and I remember when it happened, and everybody just literally stood still. Nobody could believe what happened.
And, well, that was the turning of the tide, weren't it? That well, exactly. was United.
That was the power shift change. And football, as much as you want to keep it fair, clean, whatever, it is a bloke's version. And I mean that not sexistly. Obviously, there are women who like football, but it is majority male. It is a bloke's soap opera. It is. There's drama everywhere in football.
It is. It really is.
And Man City getting brought by Arabian billionaires and then overtaking Manchester United.
All over it.
Yeah, overtaking Manchester United, who are arguably one of the most successful clubs of all time. You know, that is pure drama. You don't get that anywhere else. You just don't. And as a neutral man in that point of view, in the sense of I'm an Arsenal fan, I don't really care what either of the Manchester clubs do. That was brilliant to watch. It was phenomenal. Don't get me wrong. If that was Tottenham, I'd be very different on the situation. But do you know what I mean? So the whole, you know, I think what Newcastle have done is incredibly smart with Eddie Howe. I think Villa have appointed very, very smartly with Gerrard. And I think Norwich have done very poorly by saying to Frank Lampard that there's no room for signings in January, causing talks to break down, because I think he would have been perfect for them.
I don't understand, right? As obviously being in Derby myself, I don't get all this about Frank Lampard, because he, far being horrible, he come to Derby where, like, under Mourinho with Spurs, that he come in and it was that bad that no matter what he did, he was going to do good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when he come in and he got all his mates and everything, which I don't understand Rooney hasn't done, by the way. You know, I don't know why he didn't get the little loan book out and everything. I mean, I'm sure the sanctions and everything to do with it, but, you know.
Yeah, there is. It's
not black and white, but my point being is, I just think if he didn't have all his contacts, it'd be nowhere. He wouldn't even be.
Oh, absolutely, mate. Absolutely, know. And that's literally what I was about to touch on. Now, I'm not saying he'd be the perfect fit for Norwich because he's a great manager. What I'm saying is, you look at where Derby were before Lampard, and he made what, 4 phone calls to his mates around the Premier League. Got Mason Mount, he got Harry Wilson. You know, Fikayo Tomori, you know, he pulled in players and he made Derby serious promotion candidates.
He turned could them do to... something well like that, if you think about it.
But that's what I mean. He went to Chelsea because Chelsea needed a manager that the fans weren't going to turn on because they were going through a transfer ban. You got to think of it like that, mate. So he left Derby to go to Chelsea when they were in a transfer ban and they just sold Eden Hazard. Yeah. So Chelsea knew they were in a transfer ban and they took all the money they could for Eden Hazard. They knew that the fans were going to be pissed off with the decisions that they'd already made, bearing in mind that they couldn't get anybody else in. Yeah. So they brought Lampard in because he's a club legend and he knew that the fans wouldn't turn on him. And then once the transfer ban was over and Lampard had started getting a few poor results, they axed him. We got rid of him. Who did they bring in? Thomas Tuchel.
Yeah.
Proven manager. And then they threw a checkbook at him and said, here you are, get who you want. Transfer ban's over. So Lampard was there to steady the ship for Chelsea. That's why I don't consider his Chelsea career in any way, you know, relevant towards this Norwich argument. The reason I think he'd be perfect for Norwich is because he could turn up there, he'd say, look, do you want to stay in the Premier League? And obviously they're going to say yes. And he'd say, right, January. He'd call Chelsea up and he'd say, look, I know you're not going to give me Mason Mount because he's one of your best players now, but first of all, I'm sorry that Billy Gilmore's not been playing. He's going to start playing under me. You know, he could...
He's so good.
Oh, Gilmore's brilliant. He could probably put in a good word with Chelsea to see if they could cancel Conor Gallagher's loan early from Palace.
Yeah.
Get him across as well. You know, he's got mates in the Premier League as well, in the sense of he could probably turn around to Arsenal, maybe, and say, I'll have Fowler and Balogun on loan as well. He'll play every game, we'll develop him. Do you know what I mean? He knows these Premier League teams, and he's done it before, obviously at Derby, and he could have been, I think he was their best chance of keeping them up. If they'd have gone for Lampard, that's ambitious, and he would have kept them up. The fact that I think Dean Smith's going to get the job tells me that Norwich are preparing for a season in the Championship next year.
Probably two, to be honest. If you yeah,
could
Dean
be
Smith.
Two. Could be two, yeah. Because he's going to need to rebuild. And I don't agree with Villa fans saying that Jack Grealish has left Dean Smith to hang out dry by leaving. I don't believe that at all. Jack Grealish and... Even the Villa chairman said in... Did you watch that statement that he released?
No, I didn't.
So basically, he turned around, he says, look, I don't want any rumours going out yet. This is the chairman of Aston Villa Football Club. He said, this is exactly what's happened. He basically said, last summer, not the one that just gone, you know, the one prior to that,
yeah,
COVID summer, he turned to Jack Grealish and he signed a new contract because we are going to allow you to leave. But please just sign a new contract so we can get some money for you. Grealish, being a Villa boy, Villa captain, said, yeah, absolutely no problem. But I will sign this contract and you can put whatever release clause you want in there. But if a club playing Champions League football comes in for me, you have to let me go. So the chairman said, I tell you what, £100 million is what you're worth to us. You are worth £100 million. And that release clause can only be broken by teams who are going to the Champions League. So this season, prove to them why you should be playing for them next year. So what did Jack do? He had a cracking season at Villa, got into the England squad for the Euros, and then City came along and said, 100 million, thank you very much. That's dirt cheap. See you later. I don't see what's wrong with that.
It's just I heard that they just put a stupid figure down, expecting nobody to actually go for that. And you're thinking, yeah, you in the right mind could go 100 million. I truly believe that they thought nobody would go for that, you know.
I don't think they made it as daft as what Barcelona have been doing with their players, where I think Pedri's now got a £1 billion release clause.
Oh, yeah, no, they've always had it. Yeah,
I think it's just ridiculous. I think yeah. Villa looked at that and went, I tell you what, if a Champions League team is desperate enough, they'll pay that 100 million.
Yeah. Well, do you know with La Liga contract, do you know that every single La Liga...
You have to have a release clause.
You have to have a release clause in it, which is just... And I don't know if they do it differently over there. So it's like, in your contract, how much you earn, they put a figure on it like that. They must do.
Yeah, it's basically... They have a release clause because they want to make everything fair and equal for everybody.
It's not fair though if it's a billion though, is it?
And you know? I'm not being funny. I don't know the ins and outs. I will look into that before we speak again, which I hope is very soon.
Exactly.
But in my opinion, if that was the case, then everybody could just stick a £1 billion release clause on the player. But I don't understand, because you look at Arsenal when they signed Thomas Partey, there was a £50 million release clause. So why was that not more? Why was that £50 million? Do you know what I mean? I'll look into that before we next speak.
That's grand. So we are going to wrap it up here. Before we go, have I missed anything that you want to add there, Will?
You have missed something that I wanted to add, actually.
Go on.
So this is coming completely away from football. I want to speak to the wonderful listeners and subscribers of TNM Bull just really, really quickly on the importance of their role when it comes to our podcasts. So as you guys know, you know, we do this completely free. You know, we don't get paid to do this. Jay and I and everybody else who is involved with TNM Bull, when it comes to political, wrestling chats, anything like that, you know, we do this because we love doing it. You know, we love sitting, talking, chatting utter rubbish for 45 minutes over quota. It's brilliant. We do it for the love. And every single subscriber that we get, we notice. You are not just a number. We see your username pop up, and we are so grateful that you have subscribed to us. Every single share that we receive, even if it's just to your mate to say, Will's really wrong about what he said about Dean Smith tonight, you need to listen to this. Every single share counts, because at the end of the day, podcasting is debated. So I'm going to make a pledge at the moment. On YouTube, we are really, really pushing to get to our 100 subscribers. That is our next goal at this moment in time. So what I'm going to promise to every single listener, to viewer, subscriber that listens to and is going to soon start watching them, as well as me and Jay are going to start video calling so you can see our faces and reactions. When we hit 100 subscribers, I will put every single subscriber that isn't a member of the TNM Bull team, because obviously I'm subscribed, Jay will be subscribed. I will put every subscriber that genuinely is a listener into a hat for a prize draw. And when it comes out, you can win yourself some TNM Bull merch that only you will have. So for example, if you want a hoodie, we'll put TNM Bull on it, send it you completely free, and I'm going to cover the costs of that. So when we hit 100, there will be a prize draw, and you can get whatever bit of TNM Bull merch you want, and I will pay for that, and I will send that first class to whoever it is, wherever in the world you are and won that competition. But not until we hit 100 subscribers.
Yeah, I like it. And also, guess what?
What?
Just got our own website registered.
Oh, yes.
So, yes. TNM Bull. We'll send you more details, guys. So it looks like eventually we will be clearly getting a shop out, because Will's just dropped that delicately in there. You know, we are working hard on a serious note. Seriously, guys, please, 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 again, I know it's begging. I hate it as well when you watch everything and they always go, please sub. But I didn't realise until doing this how much that means. Seriously.
Yeah, it does. Every single workout.
And instead of doing all these different channels that make, we're doing it under one. We're making all these different playlists. We've got conspiracy theories coming out. Did that last night with a bro that even I know. Is that clear? Got a murders channel with your boy on, which people won't stop annoying me about. We've got Anchor, Apple, Spotify. On so many people. We've got people listening from Thailand, Kazakhstan, Jordan now randomly. You know, it's amazing. Seriously, thank you so much. And
obviously,
you know,
as well, you know, donations are always, always welcome. If you can't afford that, not a problem. A subscription or a subscribe or a follow would do just as... We don't care about money. We don't care about anything like this. We just want to build and grow, because the more we build, the more that we grow, the more that we can give to you as our listeners and soon to be hopefully viewers.
Exactly. If you want to be a monthly subscriber, though, you can go on Anchor, 99 cents, I believe it is, a month. Or alternatively, just look at Buy Me a Coffee, one-off sub, down below in the link. Don't know why I'm pointing. You can't see me, but you will do soon. That's the point. Yeah. So for myself, Will, thank you for coming back. I know you've got a guest coming on next week. And again,
I certainly do. He is a very dear friend of mine. And if you think that my football knowledge is expanded and big, wait till you hear Ainsley. He is a football guru. He is a genius. I cannot speak highly enough of him.
We have got questions, though. So if you do look on Anchor, Apple, etc., you'll be able to see now that it comes with a question. So if you just reply with your question to the comment board, we can ask them out on air. We've also got an email that I'll give you shortly. So if you want to send us questions, or just write in the comments below. So for myself, good night. And from Will,
thank you ever so much, guys. Good night.
Take care.